The Loose Cannons podcast is a free-form discussion about film that contains mature language,
such as poop and titty,
and descriptions of mature situations,
such as filing taxes and raising children.
We do not have any concern for spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film or films we are discussing and don't want to have the twists ruined for you, please watch the film before listening to the podcast.
And then we heard the rumors that the last scientists were working on a cure that would end the plague and restore the world. Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery. I like this world!
Hey everyone, another Loose Cannons podcast coming at you. Today we're going to be discussing 1989's Cyborg, directed by Albert Pouyan, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. But before we get into that, does anyone have any heralds or denouncements? Our first heralds and denouncements of 2015. Patrick?
Yes, I will herald the short film Here I Am by Bruce... oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his last
Dern.
Name now. No, not
Connor.
No. Oh God.
Wayne.
I'll find it. I'll find it. Wait a second.
Springsteen.
No, wait. That's not it. It's
Boss.
It's. Oh, I can't find it now for some reason. It's from like the 60s.
Bruce Weinstein.
Oh.
Yes, that's it.
The guy who did movie.
No.
Is it not Connor? Bruce Connor?
No, it's not Connor. It starts with a B. Wait, I've got it here. Here I am. Directed by... Damn
this
it.
Is some good podcasting.
Yeah. Bruce Bailey? 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 It's B-A-I-L-L-I-E. It's a short film about children at a home for emotionally disturbed children in San Francisco. Or, I'm sorry, not San Francisco, Oakland. In Oakland. But it's very interestingly shot. It's kind of experimental in the way that it is structured. It's just a bunch of kids playing and just doing stuff in general at the school. But it's a really... I love the way that it's shot, and I love the way that the sound editing is done on it. It's kind of a general, like, you know... blast of noise from time to time. It's not really like you can't really make out anything that anybody's saying most of the time. It's just like the sounds of children playing just in general, and there are a couple of really cool images that he invokes in it. So I thought it was a very good short film, and it's part of kind of me just going through these collections that I have of avant-garde films, but that one is part of one called Treasures 4, I think it is. I'm trying to look at it from all the way over here. It's sitting on my shelf. I'm like, yeah, but it's like this American avant-garde cinema series. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm taking an American avant-garde cinema class this term, and we're going to watch some stuff by this guy, but I can't remember whether or not we're watching that one, but if I like the other stuff, I'll probably check out this one too.
Basil.
I rewatched for the first time in a long time Christmas in July by Preston Sturges, which is a really pretty cool movie in terms of it being super funny and then really, really sad. And I like it a lot. And one of the things that I like most about it is that it's only like an hour long, but I feel like the script was just a normal 90-page script, but everyone just talks so fast that they get the movie done with in 64 minutes instead. I think Dick Powell's really cool in it, and I feel like it has a lot of pretty still contemporary things to say about consumerism and the way that we... value people's contributions to like corporate business and stuff like that, and I think it's pretty cynical but in a real funny way.
Hooray, Preston Sturges.
Elia?
Do I have to pick a herald or denouncement? Okay, so yeah. I can... All right, well, okay, let me do it this way. I can quickly denounce the movie A Most Wanted Man with Philip Seymour Hoffman, which is just a pile of garbage by Antoine Corbin. Horrible on every level. It looks terrible. Everyone speaks in a terrible German accent, and it's not even really good. And people still call each other Fräulein, which no one even does in Germany anymore, not since the 1900s. So that movie is just total imbecility, and sad to see PSH go out with that anyway, because that was really not good. And heralding the Parallax View, which I really enjoyed. That movie's totally insane, but in a really good way. And very confusing plot, it is never boring. Every scene kind of develops in an interesting fashion, and there are no like weird, unnecessary like romantic subplots or anything in there. It's just like grows and grows and becomes more and more paranoid. And yeah, Warren Beatty is pretty awesome in it. You should watch it for sure. It's super fun.
I'm glad that holds up. I saw that when I was a kid, but I haven't seen it since I was probably like 13, so I liked it a lot then, but I'm glad it's still good.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that one, and I second your Herald. It's Woo. A very good movie. I only saw two movies, one which I was indifferent to, and one was a rewatch. I rewatched The Babadook in the theaters, and I still really liked it. I've already talked about it a lot on a podcast that you maybe have already listened to. It was even better in the theater than it was sitting at home watching it on my computer. So I will take this time to mention that Basil and I have a new podcast that released today, so whenever this comes out, there'll probably be a couple episodes up, called Definitely Doomed, where we're going to discuss all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode by episode, and based on how it's going so far, by the time we're done, the runtime of our podcast will be longer than the runtime of the show itself.
Excellent.
That's the best.
Yeah. When we first started out, each episode was a little shorter than the actual watching of the episode, but as it's gone on, now they are getting significantly longer in some cases.
Yeah, if an episode is like any good, it's like 30 minutes longer than it takes to watch an episode to hear us talk about it.
Are y'all are just discussing the episodes? Y'all aren't actually like watching the episodes and doing commentary? Like that's what y'all are doing?
No, it's not live discussion.
Okay, it's just like
we watch the about episode, this episode before and then discuss it. Good question.
Yep.
All right.
The public needs to know.
Now, let's do today's podcast instead of doing a podcast about another podcast that we have.
We will do that eventually.
As well. Where we listen to an episode of Loose Cannons and then we comment over it.
Yes. Just like you talking, you too, to me.
That was
we
a great
will invite Paul F. Tompkins to help us.
Oh, wait, we need to do an episode of Talking About Money. Small change.
Today's pick comes to us from the crazy mind of Basil. So he's going to give us the plot summary? ?
Yep, I'll do my best.
There's kind of a plot.
So, basically, I've been watching some Jean-Claude Van Damme movies lately, and so when we were picking this, all the options were Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and we ended up with Cyborg, which I was really excited about because that's the one I wanted the most, because I've heard it's pretty nuts, and now that I've watched it, it lives up to that reputation. Basically, it takes place in a post-apocalyptic future when a nuclear war kind of destroyed everything, and then on top of that, a huge plague broke out, and now everyone's dying of plague. And there's a voiceover that kind of starts us off to explain that. And there's like a roving gang similar to the one in The Road Warrior that seems like just happy to just run around and kill people. And Jean-Claude Van Damme plays like a, I guess like a guide who is for hire. You can hire him to escort you through dangerous places. And
they're called slingers.
Yep, slinger. And so the titular cyborg has the cure to the plague like locked in her memory, and she has to get to these scientists in Atlanta, but she's kidnapped by the gang, and JCVD has a vendetta against that gang anyway, so two people team up to kind of hunt the gang down, and that's basically the plot of the movie.
Yeah, you did a good job, I think, with that.
All right. Julia, what'd you think of
Julia.
It?
Julia.
So, I ultimately didn't really like this movie, but I would say I was surprised by some things in it. I was surprised that JCVD can be, like, although maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but he can be a pretty expressive actor. Like I was seriously impressed by some of the things he did here to make things that are so ridiculous seem somehow poignant and like affecting. It didn't, mostly didn't work, but there were a couple of scenes where it did. But also I figured that like he kind of seemed like he was in the wrong movie, that he definitely was not in the same movie as the guy who was playing the villain, who was hilarious. And who, I mean, the whole movie seems like it's dubbed, but like his voice seems like everyone got together and created the ultimate bad 80s bad guy voice and bad guy look and like put it all together, and what came out was Fender, the bad guy from Cyborg. Anyway, so yeah, I didn't really like this movie, but a couple of things about it at least were pretty fun.
I thought the movie started off real strong and I was pretty excited about it, but the action choreography and like editing and direction was not that good, and almost like the entire last half of the movie was just action sequence after action sequence after action sequence, and all of them were kind of the same and not particularly exciting, so I got pretty bored by the end. So I guess I feel ambivalent about it. I love the opening, but about 45 minutes in, I was like, wait, this isn't the last action scene? And then there were two more that were also like 20 minutes long each.
Yeah, I'm going to come down on the side of not liking this movie. There was just some really egregious elements to this, the score being probably the most egregious.
Okay, I love the music.
Oh, really? You like the MIDI keyboard? Like,
yes.
I heard that, I was like, oh brother, what am I in for?
I think I liked it the first couple of times, but when it got like the 10,000th time, it was a little much.
It was just too much.
I described it as Ricky-O music.
I don't know. Sorry, what that Patrick. Means actually, but yeah. I actually was hopeful in the beginning too. I saw the opening and there was a great line that the guy that the bad guy is like hunting is like, go to hell. The bad guy's like, been there. I was like, all right, this movie's going to be awesome. And then it was like the action scenes were just not well shot. They were very poorly edited. It was like cut, 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 cut. And they, you know, when you have an action star like Jean-Claude Van Damme, you just let him go. Like, you know, turn the camera on and let him fight some people. And they do not do that here at all. Everything is just cut a million times a second, and it's hard to tell where people are in the action scenes too. Like this movie had a real problem with the spatial geography of its action scenes, and you know, their sets look bad. I mean, I guess it's a low budget film, but like, it just, all the sets looked bad. There were some really egregious audio problems with it. You know, very obvious dummies being thrown off of things and just having like screams.
All right, Patrick, you've convinced me. I do like the movie now. I like all of the things you just described. I think you listed three of my favorite things in this movie, which is the music, the dummy being thrown. Was great. I loved the opening a lot too, when he was like, I like this world. I like it. That was pretty great. I didn't know it was the bad guy who was talking.
I did think it was hilarious.
When it started, and I was like, that's awesome.
I did think it was hilarious that Jean-Claude Van Damme's character's name was Gibson Rickenbacker. I was like, yeah, that's an awesome action movie name. But I also got like really kind of existentially sad looking at the female character that's traveling with him. Like, she just had some of the worst plastic surgery that I've ever seen on a human being, and I was like, oh, I feel bad about that. Like, I felt bad about, like, the apparatus of Hollywood films after that. I was just like, oh, no, this makes me feel, like, sad for her that she had to do that. Like, she felt like she had to do that to get in movies, and, like, I felt like she was being exploited, and that just, like, took my, like, already just kind of, like, ambivalence toward the movie and just, like, took it to a whole new sad level, and I was just like, I feel gross about this now.
Who knew that Cyborg could make someone existentially sad?
I wish I could come in after all this discussion and be like, I love this movie. But...
fucking rocks.
There's no way you love this movie.
No, I don't love this movie. I did not even like it. I would say I'm sort of in the middle, because there were a lot of things like Ruben that I really liked about it. I thought some of the cinematography was really cool and the lighting. And I actually thought all the like sort of cheap, super sci-fi looking like future sets were really awesome. And also like the weird burnt out locations that they found. I was really on board for all that stuff. But I agree that it's like the... what you said is exactly what I wrote down too, which is that like this action scene that happens right in the middle of the movie feels like it's the end of the movie. So I was like, is this movie over already? But then it just keeps going after that.
I actually don't blame the editor, by the way, because there were some parts that were edited interestingly. I blame the director. I don't think they actually got enough coverage to, like, make scenes. And so the editor is just, like, working overtime to create something out of nothing, because the director had no idea what he was doing. Like, the part when he's strung up like Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he's, like, getting off the cross or whatever, and it's, like, cutting back and forth to the past. I was like, this scene kind of works because, like, they created, like, something, even though literally nothing is happening in that scene in some ways. But then they would go to the action scene, and I was like, I have no idea where anyone is. I have no idea what's going on. People are just appearing out of nowhere. I swear in the first scene, like, you see someone, like, running towards the guy, and then they jump through a window in front of him. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I heard that apparently the movie got edited in a way to, like, cut out some of the more violent scenes, but I don't think it really makes that much sense, because... you see people, like, crucified and shit. Like, it's really rough. But then you're not allowed to see someone, like, bleeding out of their neck or whatever. Like there was a scene where he, like, slit someone's throat, and then, like, you're not supposed to see that. But then next scene, someone's crucified again. Because there's a bunch of people, like, hanging off crosses in the beginning, which just really gives, like, I agree, like, in the beginning, the movie has, like, this very creepy... vibe that I was not expecting, like, not from a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie anyway, that it would be like really for real brutal and serious in that way. And at the same time, with the baddie being like so over the top, it created like a weird sort of tension, but I guess it didn't really follow through on that in an interesting way.
Was there supposed to be something scary about his eyes? Why was it intense every time he took his sunglasses off? I thought it was going to reveal something, like he had no eyes or something, but yeah. He just had pretty blue eyes.
That's what makes it extra creepy. He's got these nice, soft eyes. You're not going to expect that from a serial murderer.
Takes off his glasses, and suddenly you kind of like him.
I thought he was going to be a cyborg, too.
That would make sense, too.
But he's that. I love the cyborg acting. Did anyone else really like the cyborg? Mm-hmm. Not the woman actress, but when it was the special effects, and it was just like wide eyed, like looking around.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like small chin adjustments.
I thought that looked pretty cool. I thought the small amount of special effects they did have in this movie looked pretty cool. It just seemed like they didn't have enough to do what they actually wanted to with that. But I thought it would have been cool if she had run around the whole movie looking like that. Like, I thought that would have been awesome. But
yeah, basically what I've heard about Albert Pyun is that his entire career is based on like ambition far overreaching both his budget and skill level as a director.
Well, that's very sympathetic. Honestly, if you look through his filmography, this is a bit early for the Googling portion, but check some of this shit. It's amazing. Like, Bullet
we
Face.
We started with Googling. Patrick wanted to know who the director of that.
Yeah, a bunch of his movies have really cool titles.
It's super cool titles.
And I thought this was
Brain Smasher.
This is a good podcast.
Brain Smasher.
I mean, it's actually called Brain Smasher, A Love Story.
I thought the plot of this movie actually sounded pretty awesome on paper. I was like, all right, cool. There's going to be cyborgs. There's going to be, you know, post-apocalyptic southern states. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, you don't have too many movies set in Charleston, do you? Like, that's kind of a weird place to set a movie.
Yeah. I mean, the description of this movie is a martial artist hunts a killer in a plague-infested urban dump of the future. And I think that's pretty fitting. It does look like a dump. Which is funny because it's in a way the really trashy version of Blade Runner. Like, there's in the costume design there's a lot of similarities. I think the bad guy once calls the cyborg something like skin job or whatever, which I think that's also someone said that in Blade Runner, I think.
Yeah.
I was reminded of that movie. And I would like to see a trashy, fun version of Blade Runner, where it's all about the crazy world that they're in and whatever, and not about some pretentious, pseudo poetic stuff there at the end. And no Harrison Ford. I'd rather have Jean-Claude Van Damme than Harrison Ford any time.
Cosine.
Honestly, yeah, I think that would have made Blade Runner 100% better.
There's some warriors and some Once Upon a Time in the West in here too.
Yeah,
definitely the warriors. Yeah, sticking to that.
Yeah, with the girl, right? With the the scene when she has
it's got the same. It's got essentially the same flashback.
Yeah,
Once Upon a Time in the West, he's holding up his brother from being hung, and then this she's holding up her sister from going down a well, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. You never really see
sister and baby brother. Yeah. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he just climbs out and he's fine.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty harsh though. These bad guys were harsh in this movie. Everything they did was sadistic.
When they caught Jean-Claude Van Damme, though, they didn't just kill him, which seems like
they should have done. Yeah,
the kind of thing that they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't they know how easy it is to get off one of those crosses?
Yeah.
I also thought that there was one scene that I was really impressed by where they're down in the sewers. And the guy is hunting for the guy that looks like he belongs to Twisted Sister is hunting him, and he
that really does not narrow it down.
It's true, a lot of them did, but he's hunting Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then it just cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme's face, and he's just really intense, and then it zooms out and it's just a shot of Jean-Claude Van Damme doing the splits over him and just stabs him in the face, and I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
wasn't
that
there more
was
of that
badass
in this movie?
The lighting in that scene was pretty awesome too. That was kind of seemed that looked pretty cool. That whole scene looked pretty cool, and it kind of comes out of nowhere because they're running through this through the sewers, and it's really gross, and then but suddenly it cuts to Jean-Claude Van Damme with his, yeah, like you said, with his face in it. And the scene is actually looks quite beautiful, like this like weird dark blue everywhere and stuff, just before he stabs him. That's Ralf Möller, by the way, who's like a German bodybuilder, who I think in most of his movies that he starred in had it out of his voice dubbed because it had like such a thick German accent. So I guess the dubbing in this movie really actually helped him. Just the general dubbing of everyone.
My note about that scene is, why would he leave the sewers if he had to take on all these people? Why would he go into an open field where the, his one advantage, which is taking them on one-on-one, is removed?
Yeah. Some logistical errors there.
But we did get to see Jean-Claude Van Damme run, and he is the funniest runner of all of the big action stars of the 80s.
I like the way this movie shoots people's bodies in general. I was like, this is some sweet, like, dude porn. These guys look really good. And I felt like it was pretty balanced. Like, it was, like, I feel like a lot of movies, especially, it makes me really uncomfortable, George Miller, like, in The Road Warrior, there's so much gross stuff going on with women in that movie that even though I feel like the script is really bad in terms of, like, giving the women characters something to do, I thought the way that it was shot was, like, not nearly as gross as I was expecting it to be, so I was really psyched about that. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, that weird flashback sex scene, there's a way that could have been, like, super gross, but because Jean-Claude nails it, I was like, wow, this is really tender, I believe in their relationship.
Yeah, I kind of liked his backstory of, like, you know, he finally settled down and then it was all taken from him. I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. He's not a bad character, like, in general.
I like how they made him younger by giving him a ponytail.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they took his, you know, I guess, girlfriend or wife, and they took her family, but the main thing they did, the reason why he's really pissed, is they took his wig.
I thought the casting was really creepy because that younger girl looked exactly like the older one. I was like, is that the same person? Did they wait like 10 years to shoot this?
I've got this great idea for a movie. We're going to shoot 5 scenes in 1978. Yeah. We're going to shoot the rest of the movie in 1988.
The original Boyhood.
Cyborghood.
So yeah, I agree that he's like that he's super tender in this movie. Well, I generally Van Damme is like one of the gentler 80s action stars and always has been, and he's much more believable than most in love scenes and so on because he's like a really good looking handsome man that you believe that women would like to be with him, you know, and he'd probably be good at what he does.
Good in the bed.
He could do the split. Good in the
bed. He's got better hip movement than rest of them.
Yes,
for sure.
He's
super
very flexible.
Yeah. Yes.
Adding to that tenderness is not a pet the dog moment, but a save the ball moment where a guy steals the ball from a kid. Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, give the kid the ball back. Like, way less stakes than a pet the dog moment.
Yeah.
I really like that scene in general. I wish there was more of them. They're like this like weird bartender and just like a bunch of people living in kind of like gross hovels, but you know, making it work somehow. I was like, man, I wish the whole movie was just like a road movie full of scenes like this. That would be a lot more interesting than sort of where it ends up. But so it goes. I also really like the sign that just says, this way to the wasteland.
Good times.
Yeah, that is a good moment. I think like the production design was on point most of the time. Like I think the places really did look really cool, where they ended up being. It's just that, like once they got there, the camp, like, they didn't really know where to, what to do with all the places. Like,
you didn't like the scene in the, like, grass fields where he just ran
yeah.
for 6 minutes?
Yeah. And then got punched for another 10 minutes over and over and over. Which, that scene could have ended a little sooner.
Yeah.
Because, like, this Fender guy looks really strong, and it's enough to show him punch him, like, once or twice to get the point that it probably really hurts. That he punches him, like, 20 times. But,
my
yeah.
My favorite part of the movie was when that girl reveals one boob to seduce him. She's like, you like this? This one boob? JCBD, always the gentleman, though. Puts the boob back.
Covers it right up.
Yeah,
because briefly, that's before that scene when she goes off to swim and then they're like both kind of like half naked by the fire. I was like, oh, they probably had sex. Like, that's kind of a cool way to just show that they just had sex and it's no big deal. Like, they're both kind of naked by the fire. That seems cool. And it's just like cuts from him looking at her running into the ocean to them kind of naked near the fire. Like, that's not bad. That's like very Double Indemnity. Where it like cuts to her smoking
sex
on the couch, but they didn't, exactly. Which
it's
kind
a
of
trick.
Yeah. Oh well.
I was upset that when she took off her clothes and ran into the water that Jean-Claude did not follow her. I thought we were gonna get to see his butt.
There's some other movie, I think it's Nowhere to Run, where there's like brief full frontal JCVD. I haven't seen it since I was like 11, but that scene is in my memory forever. He's like in a lake or something and he's skinny dipping and he starts to walk out and then the female love interest, who's like not a love interest yet, like walks out and sees him and he like quickly cups his stuff and then... like, tries to find a towel.
Cupping his stuff.
Yep. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know that what all to say about the movie. I heard that the sets were, like, left over from some other movie. I can't remember which one, though, that he just, like, bought sets they were going to destroy for super cheap and then threw this movie together, which is, like, a fun thing to do.
Mask of the Red Death in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old Roger Corman style. I heard that he's trying to get together a sequel to this that also combines some other movie that he made, and so he's getting the original screenwriter, Kitty Chalmers, and this other female screenwriter who worked on a different movie with him to do Cyborg 2. I forget what it's going to be called, though.
But isn't there already a Cyborg 2?
Maybe it's Cyborg 3, then.
Because there's Cyborg Nemesis. There's also Nemesis 3. But then I thought there was also Cyborg 3. But who knows?
Let's find out.
Because I was actually looking for it. Yeah, there's Cyborg 2 for sure. With Elias Koteas.
Oh yeah, Cyborg Nemesis is the one I'm thinking of, so that must be the sequel that's combining stories written by the writer who wrote Nemesis and the writer who wrote Cyborg. It's going to have Steven Seagal in it.
Best of both worlds coming together. I don't like Steven Seagal.
Yeah, he's
I'm
a
not
downgrade
that excited
for
about
sure.
That.
Yeah. I wish instead of being Steven Seagal, it was Dan Van Kirk playing Steven Seagal.
That would be
pretty
incredible.
They should do a face-up movie, but instead of being Steven Seagal and Mark Wahlberg, it's Dan Van Kirk playing both roles.
I would totally watch that.
Oh,
it's also supposed
to
have Sasha Mitchell in it, who is the guy who played Cody on Step by Step, for anyone who watched Step by Step growing up like I did.
Oh, and it has Dina Meyer, for everyone who's watched Starship Troopers. She was, what's the other
Dizzy.
Love interest? Dizzy, yes.
Dizzy.
Exactly.
Is So, here's
so what are your notes?
Oh, no.
Sure, let's hear some of your notes. Let's hear them.
Perfect timing.
I'm back.
Let's freeze. Let's freeze in the middle of your notes.
I'm back. Yeah, it was a good time. I was doing something stupid. I had a tab open, and I was like, why am I not accessing this anymore? And then I clicked to sign out of this Google account and sign into another one.
Nice.
I laughed really hard at, you think we're going to swim all the way to Atlanta.
I thought that was going to be like a foreshadowing, because he's like, I hate the water. So I was like, oh, that's how they're going to get him. But then it never comes up again.
I like the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme on foot is able to keep up with them on a boat. Maybe I'm wrong, but I assume the opening place was New York City. I'm probably wrong about that. And that he walked to Charleston.
He took the secret shortcut through the wasteland.
Yeah. Oh.
West Virginia.
I guess that's pretty much it. I wrote down JC, Jean-Claude, Jesus Christ. Once upon a time in the West reference.
Uh-huh.
Butt Beach, exclamation point. There's one point in the movie where it doesn't seem like it's a line, like something, he like runs out of bullets or something, and Jean-Claude just goes, fuck. That was good too.
Yeah, I thought the movie, it's surprising that they cut any violence out of it, because like in some ways I guess it seems like maybe it was going to be PG-13, but then in other ways it doesn't at all, so it's yeah. Really weird line, like there's not really any swearing besides that one time, and
yeah, so is it PG-13 then?
No, it's R. It's got to be because of the nudity.
Right.
That wasn't always true.
That's true. But I feel like by 8 or 9 it was for sure.
I think 8 or 9 it was true, though. Maybe they could get away with one bib.
Maybe that's why they did it.
That was the compromise. Well, what if he just... She just shows up for a very brief moment of time and then Jean-Claude covers it right up. That's probably okay.
She's like, no.
If he busted out a palette and painted her, it would have been okay. Like in Titanic.
I think it's funny how many people in this movie are named after guitars. Like Gibson, right? Marshall Stratt is apparently someone's name. That's the guy who dies in the beginning, whose head gets ripped off.
Fender, obviously.
And Fender, obviously. He's called Fender Tremolo.
I don't know that was his name. That's really funny, though.
They did not spend more than 25 seconds on the name.
No. I think Kitty Chalmers.
Pearl is also a guitar, right? I feel like it is.
Yeah, Pearl was also a guitar, yeah. So, I guess Kitty Palmers wrote this movie and another movie with Albert, or another two movies with Albert Pune. And, they all had really weird names in them.
She's a fan.
Yeah,
I was going to say, one thing that really bothered me was the death of, like, the main female character, because, like, it's handled so weird that since so many other people get stabbed or, like, sliced with stuff constantly in the movie, I was like, is she dead? Is she not dead? And then they just never mention her, and she's not with them. So I was like, oh, I guess she is dead. And I was like, that's kind of gross that they just, like, never even address the fact that she was with him the whole time, and then she just dies.
Yeah, I think that was really, like, atonal, too. There were some really weird atonal things that happened in that last fight scene. Like the
I thought she was dead in the earlier scene when, like, Fender was, like, standing over her body.
Right.
Like, I don't even remember her getting captured. Maybe I just missed it. I was looking down or something. I was just like, he was like, don't move from here. And then she walks away. And then I was like, oh, there's her dead body. I guess we missed all that. And then he was like, he checked her pulse. And I was like, it didn't seem like he reacted to that at all, but then he picks her up and starts carrying her, and I was like, I guess he really wants that corpse.
Yeah, she's like lying face down on that floor forever before he picks her up. And like there's people standing around, and she just doesn't move at all, and then he just picks her up. And then he somehow, like, there's this big deal where he carries her down the thing, like, into the sewer. But when they get up, she's running again. Like, maybe I just zoned out for a second, but how was that? Anyway.
Yeah. She recovered.
Yeah.
Yeah. The smells of the sewer acted as a thing for her. You know those little things that they break smelling your nose to wake you up? Yeah.
Plus, she saw her. She saw him do those splits and probably was very impressed by that. She was like, ah, life is worth living.
Time to show the other boob.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Cyborg.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It's a good one.
It wasn't as crazy and awesome as I was hoping it would be. Although, it was as crazy. There's that part. I got that part down.
But I'm really excited to watch more Jean-Claude Van Damme movies anyway.
Yep, I'm going to watch all the other ones on my list. But...
So the other ones on your list were Maximum Risk.
Already seen it. It's good.
Yeah.
Double Team.
I haven't watched it in a while.
Double Team. Double Team looks good. What's the one where he plays his own twin? Isn't that Double Impact?
Yes.
I remember seeing that one when I was younger. I don't really remember it, though, but I remember me and my brother watching it on TV.
It's cool.
Double Impact. My brother was flipping out because he played his own twin. He was like, how do they do that?
It happens in Maximum Risk, too, but just at the very beginning, and then he dies in the first, like, 5 minutes. And I was like, whoa, what's going to happen now? Is it going to, like, flash back? But then it just cuts to a different Jean-Claude Van Damme. And then...
That's how it should always happen. Cut to
there's
a different
always,
Van Damme.
Yeah, there's always another Van Damme.
Well, yeah.
We're going to need a new Van Damme.
Yeah, I want to see the Universal Soldier movies the most.
Yeah, I'm very excited about all of them.
Yeah.
Well, except for the ones without JCVD. They're non-canon, though, so... Fuck them.
Get them out of here. They're garbage.
Yep.
The Universal Soldier Wiki?
There probably is.
There should be.
I hope so.
There might be. And the other one was the Sudden Death, right? Where about the hockey diet.
Yeah, Sudden Death.
Die Hard on Ice.
I've definitely seen that one before. I'm excited to see it again, though.
I watched a ton of JCVD movies when I was a kid with my granddad. He was a big fan of him. Big fan. He I think Jean-Claude Van Damme was like in Russia with the most one of the most popular actors ever. Was him, and then Sophia Loren.
Nice.
And Alain Delon.
And Rutger Hauer.
Yes. Yes, not to forget Rutger Hauer. Yeah, those are... So I'm like genetically predisposed to liking all of those people.
Awesome.
I was wondering why Grumpier Old Man made your canon.
Oh boy.
Does anyone have anything else they want to say about this movie?
No, I feel pretty sufficiently cyborged. I mean, yeah. I guess it really makes me happy that the fact that she's a cyborg plays into the plot not at all.
Yeah, she's a cyborg, but it doesn't really matter.
She's basically a cyborg, but that's okay.
Only matters in that one scene in the beginning, and that's it. Yeah.
And the weird scene where it flashes back to her volunteering to become a cyborg.
Yes.
very unexplored ramifications of body modding, but maybe they handled that in Cyborg 2. I guess I'll find out soon.
Yeah, Cyborg 2 is all about women's bodies and their right to control their own bodies. It's a much deeper and more relevant film.
Yeah. We need to make that movie.
Oh, wow. Albert Pyun also made the Captain America movie that I saw when I was a kid and everyone hates. I remember liking it when I was, like, 8 or whenever I saw it, but it's pretty universally reviled as, like, one of the worst superhero movies ever. Maybe I should rewatch it.
It's interesting. So, the guy that Ralf Möller guy plays, so the German with the long hair that Jean-Claude Van Damme does his splits and, you know, shivs him, he has... like Albert Pyun made another movie with him, like, as the main character of that movie, which is very weird because, like, he's in this for like 5 minutes and dies, and then he's like apparently a main character in another movie of his, which if you were a fan of that movie and that was the reason you decided to watch Cyborg, you were probably pretty disappointed.
So he made it up to you.
Yeah.
Must have had a much lower budget on that movie.
Yeah.
He had to take supporting players from this movie and make them main characters in his other movie.
Maybe he shot them concurrently to really save money.
Is it about him being a businessman? He's like, all right, now get out of your cyborg wasteland uniform and get back into your business suit. No, I'm going to shoot the scene where you buy some bonds.
It's another actor, but it's the same character, Brick Bardo, but yeah, which is another pretty awesome name. I think if I ever need any awesome names for anything ever, I will check Albert Pyun's.
Is it about what Brick Bardo did before the apocalypse? He's like a day trader. Orange juice is going to be big this year.
Are we still recording?
I think we are.
Guys, I got some hot stock tips.
I asked you guys if we were done and the people kept talking.
We love to chat.
Yes.
All right.
What's the problem with being friends with the people you do a podcast with as opposed to hating them?
Exactly.
Are we finished? Bye. I hate you. Bye.
See, that's imagine why, if that happens at your job, you never want to leave your job.
That's why Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael and Jason Mendoza all hate each other. That makes their podcast better. Tight.
That's why they treat each other super professionally. That's still one of the best jokes on the podcast. It sounds super professional. Paul and June greet each other.
Let's list all our favorite jokes from everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
You remember any good ones from Veronica Mars?
Lots of good snark. I don't know. apparently, in that movie Nemesis, Tom Jane is in it.
Wow.
The
Star Trek Nemesis?
A young Tom Jane.
No, just the Albert Pyun movie, Nemesis.
Tom Jane isn't a porn star.
I thought maybe that's Thomas Jane.
No, yeah, it's the same guy.
I think you're thinking he's a porn star just because Mike had a big crush on him, but he's an actor.
I think that's totally the reason.
Tom Jane is in The Mist.
Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, he was in Hung, right?
Deep Blue Sea.
So he played.
He sure was.
Yeah.
He was also in Arrested Development.
That's right.
Playing Scott Pilgrim.
The hobo.
We could just be playing the Last Man Stanton game with Thomas Jane right now.
According to the superficial.com, Thomas Jane used to dabble in gay prostitution which is nice. A really weird way of putting that. Dabble in prostitution. Dabble. I'm not sure you can dabble in prostitution.
He would
probably
flirt with it, right? He flirted with it.
You dabble in anything.
Either in there or out of there. Hard to
what
dabble.
What if it was his, like, third job? What if he had two other jobs and he only did that job, like, very occasionally? Like, when he really needed money.
Like, every other weekend?
Yeah.
Pretty not committed to this. I'm just like, you know.
I don't know. I dabble.
Like Steven Soderbergh in his painting.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks all for right. listening, everybody. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah, we're rated now.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, we got rated? What?
Yeah.
Give us
who there's like five seven
stars,
ratings.
Write a nice review. I'm just going to keep
stars.
Talking over these guys. thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.